Ramsey TV.
If you didn't see Sunday's show, you really should check it out. It's really good. I talk about one of the greatest events that has ever happened in my 33 years of heralding the gospel of God's grace. And I'm going to talk about it again today, because this is the 20th anniversary of this event, or close to it. It was 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago today. Yeah, that Deb Tufford learned about her gospel. If you already heard the show Sunday, if you already watched Rodney Parris's videoization of my audio, well, you're going to hear the story again. Greg Davis says he never gets tired of hearing it. I never get tired of telling it. And it was first century drama in a suburb of Detroit, Michigan. I think the suburb was Rochester. Rochester, Michigan. There was a church back then. Well, first let me introduce myself. This is Martin Zender, and you're at MZTV. And let me tell you one of the bones of contention I've had with the Concordant Publishing concern. There aren't many. I got hairs hanging all over me here. I don't know what happened. I did attempt to shave earlier, so some remnants of that ill-fated process still remain. Concordant, of course, you know this. They believe, Concordant Publishing Concern believes, that anybody who names the name of Jesus is automatically in the body of Christ. They don't believe that anyone can legitimately hold to the circumcision gospel. And, of course, this is ridiculous. I mean, Romans 11 says, in the current era, there's come to be a remnant. According to the choice of grace, this remnant, as I've shown you in detail many times, is a circumcision remnant. It has to be a circumcision remnant, because Paul presents it as proof that God has not thrust away his people. If there is no remnant, that is, if there are no believing Israelites faithful to the Israel gospel, then that would be evidence that God has thrust away his people. Paul assures us in Romans chapter 11 that he has not thrust away his people. Now, there aren't many. I'm not saying that the Christians out there are part of the, I mean, I think they're part of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, but they're not loyal circumcisionists. Someone who's actually legitimately embracing the Israel gospel will hold Paul off to the side. They won't mix it. See, Christianity mixes it. That's the anathema gospel that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 1. And I've known for years, during the 80s, before I studied concordant material, I studied material from an outfit in Massachusetts, Merrimack, Massachusetts. What was the name of that publishing house? I really can't think of the name of the publishing house now, but they were an Israelite publishing house. And, you know, they had actually had a tract, like, does Paul belong in the gospel? Isn't that funny? You got a guy like Martin Luther who thinks that James should have not been included in the scriptures because he was so against the grace of God. And then you got these people in Merrimack, Massachusetts, this Israel publishing house, saying that, asking the question, does Paul belong in the gospel? Because they recognize that there's no marriage between Peter and Paul. They loved each other. They gave each other the right hand of fellowship, but in no way did Paul join Peter's gospel, and in no way did Peter join Paul's gospel. And because of something that happened to me in 1996, it's 20 years, this is 2026, because of something that happened to me, I developed a very important part of my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. I learned something from direct experience. For those of you who heard this story before, you're going to hear it again. This is what I got today, so this is what you're going to get. This is fantastic. I may never have said the woman's name before. It's Deb Tufford. Anyway, as the legend goes, But I promise you this is true. I lived in Ohio in 96, raising my family. And there was a church in Detroit, actually a suburb of Detroit. I think the suburb was Rochester, if I'm not mistaken. And Dean Huff would go there. The dean lived and still lives in Elmont, Michigan, which is up in the thumb of the mitten, about 30 miles north of Detroit. And there was this church called the Restoration Bible Church. It was an Israelite church. But weird thing about these Israelite churches, some of them, or I should say these Israelite movements, they believe in the salvation of all. The salvation of all. So the pastor of this church, his name was and still is, I looked him up recently, he's still active, his name's Jory Brooks. Jory Brooks. And once in a while, he would have Dean Huff come down and teach on the salvation of all. That was it. That was the only topic we could teach on, the salvation of all. That was the only area of agreement we had with this church. And I don't know how this Dean and Jory came to know each other. I don't know how. But one day, Dean Huff called me up, or maybe Tony Nungesser called me up, and they said, hey, there's a pretty good group of people up here, and they want to hear more about the salvation of all, and who knows more about the salvation of all than us, so why don't you come on up from Ohio and teach on topics related to the salvation of all. So for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, something like that, that's what I did. And they were all very receptive. They all loved me. I charmed them to death. Jory Brooks would take me out to lunch after the service. But let me tell you something about this church. Israelite all the way. They were pure. They did not mix it with Paul. There are some groups in this world, not many, who are legitimate circumcision believers. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and they keep Paul out of it. They don't go anywhere near grace of God. They don't go anywhere near justification. They don't go anywhere near conciliation or a celestial allotment. No, they don't. No, they're pure. Paul said there's a remnant, but a remnant, by definition, is a very small number of people. And the people at this Restoration Bible Church were a very rare group. And I recognize that because I had studied this in the 80s before, probably the early 80s, 82, 83, 84, 85, before I got concordant material in 86. See, God gave me a hell of a background, a hell of an education, because I saw both worlds. Just like the Apostle Paul, of course, was a member of the circumcision gospel, and then he was shown the uncircumcision gospel by the glorified Christ. So, I mean, my calling, not quite as dramatic as that, but I was acquainted because of my in-laws with this publishing outlet in Merrimack, Massachusetts. Dang, what's that place called? I don't care. But they were Israelites. Israelite identity people. They believed in the lost 10 tribes and this and that. And they really dismissed Paul. Like, that's fantastic. These people are pure. You got to dismiss Paul if you're going to be a member of the remnant. So this church did that. So for 5 or 6 weeks, I drove up there. Then it was it was 3.5 hours up, 3.5 hours back. It was a long day. And around week 6 or 7 or something, I mean, I love to teach. So any opportunity I got in those early days, I would take. I'd go anywhere I was invited. So one time, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to blow it up. I'm going to teach on justification by faith. And that talk is somewhere. I got to ask Rodney. I was just looking for it before I started broadcasting here. I can't find it, but I know we have it. And Rodney put it to video, the talk I gave that day at the Restoration Bible Church in 1996 when this historic, legendary event occurred. So I think I had hinted to Tony, maybe, that I was going to talk on this, and he's going, oh, I wouldn't do that, Zender, but, you know, I forged ahead. So I began to speak on, and if you want to hear, every time I tell this story, I tell it in a different way. I mean, I don't change the facts, but, you know, I put different spin on it, whatever. I remember different things, forget other things. So don't let this stop you from listening to Sunday's show. It's a great show, Sunday. It's from the Hebrew series that I recorded back in when I lived with Clyde in Windsor, Pennsylvania back in 2013. So back to 1996, though, there I am driving up, planning my detonation of Paul's gospel. I'm going to detonate Paul's gospel. And the title of my talk was, I believe it was, Justification Apart from Law. Ooh! I remember these people loved me before today, before this day. They loved me. I think I started something along the lines of, I recognize that you recognize that you're part of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. As I look about your sanctuary, I see, I've never said this before. This is very clever. You've never heard this before. As I look about the walls of your sanctuary here in Rochester, Michigan, I see maps of the Holy Land. I see plaques dedicated to God's chosen people. And on one wall, I see the Ten Commandments. Yes, the Ten Commandments given by God via messengers to Moses on Mount Sinai, the likes of which none of you have ever been able to keep. I recognize it. We started to get a little Russell. You know, what's this? Why is he saying all this? Who's this guy think he is? I know that you know you're Israelites. Okay, got him back. I got him back. And now let me tell you why it possibly doesn't matter. Oh, I think I might have said possibly because of this. I'm going to go ahead and insert this before I tell you what happened at the end of my talk. As Paul plainly states, we are designated before him. We are designated before the disruption of the world. God chose us in Christ before the disruption of the world to be members of Christ's body, chosen beforehand. So we are born. This is the analogy I got from this day, and I put it in the book, The First Idiot in Heaven, which is the best book I ever wrote. And if there's only one book you read besides Scripture that you want to understand the Bible, get The First Idiot in Heaven. Many, many people have told me that. I wouldn't be so audacious as to say that on my own, but many people have told me that if you can only read one book besides the Scriptures, obviously, it would be Zender's book, First Idiot in Heaven. I can't disagree with that. So I came up with this analogy that those who are destined to be in the body of Christ are born with an antenna for the gospel of the grace of God. In my analogy, this is very helpful. If you've never heard it, I envy you because it's a great day for you. You're going to hear it for the first time. In my analogy, I equate the circumcision evangel with 1400 AM, like a news channel, you know, or maybe some Lawrence Welk type music, talk radio, 1400 AM, kind of traditional, old-fashioned, maybe a little boring, you know, 1400 AM, that's the circumcision evangel. The uncircumcision evangel, Paul's evangel, is 92.1 FM, different frequency modulation. FM, it's classic rock. You got your Rolling Stones. You got your Kinks. You got your Beatles. You even got your Black Sabbath in there. A couple of Black Sabbath songs. Oh my God, I never forget a joke. A believer in Canada, lived in Toronto. He had a great joke about listening to Christian music. He said, yeah, I listen to Christian music. Nazareth, Black Sabbath, Judas Priest. That's a pretty good one. So we got two different gospels, and some people are only born with one antenna. Some people are born with two antennas. The Apostle Paul, for instance, let's just take him as a test case. He was born with both antennas. The 92.1 antenna responds to the broadcast of the uncircumcision gospel. The 1400 AM antenna responds to a broadcast. It's trained, it's designed to pick up 1400 AM to pick up the circumcision gospel. So Paul obviously had a 1400 AM antenna. And he was raised as a kid. He heard the circumcision gospel. And antenna's going cuckoo crazy. It's vibrating. He's getting the message. I'm getting a message. But this man, and he's not the only one back in that day. He's not the only one. He also had an antenna that for a frequency that no one had ever heard of, that had never been broadcast on the face of the planet Earth from the beginning of the Earth until this time. It was called 92.1 FM. Nobody had ever heard of it, okay? But he had this antenna, but it lay dormant. Didn't even know it had it. Why? Why? Because there was no broadcast on that frequency. So one day, the Apostle Paul's going from Jerusalem to Damascus to round up some Christians that he hates, because he hates Christ. And for the first time, it's the only time this ever happened. It's the only time that 92.1 was broadcast from heaven. A new frequency came that no one ever heard before. It was the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul had this other part of him that started to react, started to vibrate. It was his 92.1 FM receiver. He picked up the frequency. That's what it was. So what the hell is this? The Beatles, Stones, the Kinks. Ozzy Osbourne, what the hell? Led Zeppelin, ZZ Top. ZZ Top? What am I hearing? It's a new gospel, completely new gospel. Peter did not have a 92.1 receiver. He didn't. There are many things about Paul's gospel he didn't understand. He didn't understand the Kinks. He didn't get it. He didn't understand ZZ Top. He understood Lawrence Welk and news in talk radio. But whenever the Kinks came on, or even Buddy Holly, what the hell is this? Paul told him about it. But Peter did not have that reaction that Paul did. Like, oh my God, this is for me. Other Jews did. Barnabas did. Timothy did. They were also born with dual antennae. But when I said that it was the first and only time that 92.1 was broadcast from heaven, it is. Because after that, it's broadcast by human beings. The glorified Christ gave it to Paul, and from that time forward, Paul gave it to human beings, and human beings give it to other human beings. And I've been broadcasting on the 92.1 frequency for 33 years now. And whoever has an antenna picks it up. Okay, so back to Jory Brooks Restoration Bible Church in Detroit, Michigan. More specifically, the suburb of, what did I say it was, Rochester? If I'm wrong about that, somebody correct me. Deb Tufford can correct me because she plays very greatly in this story. So I'm broadcasting. I decided when I drove up there that last time, I've never invited back, by the way. I said, I'm going to talk about justification apart from law. When they heard apart from law, and when I said that you cannot be justified in the neighborhood of law, whenever you have law, you have forgiveness and pardon. That's the best you can do. But forgiveness and pardon operate in the realm of law. When you're talking about justification, you can't be talking about law. You must discard the law. And there are people to whom the law never came. Oh, God, I could feel them turning against me. That's when the perspiration started coursing down my forehead, over my nose, into my mouth. It's so salty. They were turning against me because I didn't see anybody having a 92.1 receiver, a 92.1 antenna. I was playing new music to those people, and they did not like it. And when I finished, I knew that I had done my job well. See, the salvation of all is not the gospel. For 6 weeks, I had broadcast the salvation of all. The salvation of all is a result of Paul's gospel, but it's not an announcement of Paul's gospel. And none of us ever announced Paul's gospel, as far as I'm aware. I was the first one to do it because I was tired of driving up there. And plus, Paul says, herald the evangel opportunely and inopportunely. So this is inopportune. This is a perfect perfectly inopportune time to broadcast. So I finished my talk. And this talk is available. I'll try to find it. The talk. We published it. I couldn't find it. Rodney, help me out here. Rodney Paris, where is that talk that I gave in Rochester, Michigan? That's legend. It's legend. In my mind, it is, because it was first century drama. Here's what happened. I finished. People used to come up and congratulate me. Oh, you're such a nice boy. You're such a nice boy. Oh, will you come back next week? That's what they used to do. Nobody came up to say anything to me. Oh, you gave such a nice talk. No, forget about it. Oh, we love you. You're so cute. No, none of that. I was all alone up there. I folded up my papers, closed my Bible, and took a deep breath. Then, from the corner of my eye, I see a woman coming from my right in the back row approaching me. I still get so emotional about this because this is one of the greatest things that ever happened to me and to her. And she will tell you that too. A woman came up to me and I thought, oh God, here it comes. I'm going to get reamed out by this lady. She's going to give me the old what for. How dare you come into this church teaching such blasphemies? But that's not what happened, ladies and gentlemen. It's not what happened at all. God, 20 years ago, and I'll never forget it. I wish I'd left a tape on to record what happened after my talk. This woman came up to me. I said, yes, ma'am. She looked me in the eye and said, today, I heard my gospel for the first time. She said, I've been sitting in this church for, Deb, if I get this wrong, please correct me. Could it be 2-3 years? Let's just say 3 years. I've been sitting in this church for 3 years, and I've been listening, I've been paying attention, but something was missing. And as I contemplated this later, I realized what was missing. A 1400 AM receiver. A 1400 AM antenna was missing. She did not have it. She was not born with it. What was she born with? A 92.1 FM antenna. But for 3 years, no one that took that podium at the Restoration Bible Church, Rochester, Michigan, not one person ever broadcast on that frequency. Until yours truly. My motivation was not exactly pure. I was tired of driving up there, but in another way, it was as pure as can be. Because the broadcast of that message involves clearing it of any extraneous information, of anything that doesn't belong to it, of anything that sullies it, that compromises it, that modifies it. It must be pure rock and roll, pure. No Lawrence Welk, no Mitch Miller, no Lennon Sisters. You gotta have pure classic rock. You have to keep Paul's gospel pure. And that is what I have sought to do for 33 years. And I feel confident that thanks to God and Christ, I have done that. And I did it that day. And her antenna, for the first time, she never went back to that church. And for 20 years, In the ensuing 20 years, Deb Tufford has been a great friend. She attended subsequent conferences at Dean's House in Elmont, Michigan. She supported this work financially for 20 years. She, and now her husband also. Her husband also has received the gospel of the grace of God. And to me, I look back at that as first century drama. Because the same thing was happening in the first century. Concordant doesn't think it happens today. Oh, it does. In the first century, you had Peter and Paul sitting at the same picnic table at Antioch and at the Jerusalem Council. And they're believing different gospels. The two evangelists are going out at the same time, and they still are today. The circumcision is an evangel in waiting. No one can actively do the law because there's no temple. Nevertheless, I still see the book of Hebrews in my Bible hasn't gone away. Hebrews explains to modern day Israelites who are true to the circumcision message why, how the eons have been adjusted to a declaration of God to allow for a new message to come to the nations. And Deb Tufford heard it that day. And we have a thing now, Deb and I do, because we this amazing first century connection, so primitive, so ancient, yet so heavenly, so real, so true. Somebody broadcast it purely on that frequency, and she had a receiver for it and got it and held it fast, and she is rooted and grounded in the truth. And I thank God for you, Deb Tufford, for your husband, for your family, for your progenitors, for freaking hometown, for the people who raised you up. Oh, God. What a day that was. What a day that was. Keep the gospel pure. Herald it opportunely and inopportunely. And don't miss those inopportune moments, because they can yield great fruit.